felt like you're just swimming in information, trying to get a handle on a new topic, or maybe you're looking for a genuinely better way to organize your life or your work. That feeling, you know, where it feels a bit overwhelming and you know there's probably a solution out there, but just digging through all the options is, well, it's a project in itself. Well, that's exactly why we created the Deep Dive. We take your sources, your research, your burning questions, the things you want to understand deeply, but, you know, quickly, and we try to extract the most important nuggets of knowledge. Think of it as your shortcut to truly being well-informed. Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into a really interesting open-source project management tool. We're talking about Khan. Now, if you're familiar with tools like Trello, maybe think of Khan as the open source Trello alternative. Mm-hmm. So for anyone new to this space, or maybe even if you're a seasoned pro just looking for new, powerful tools, this deep dive is designed to give you a clear, easy entry point. We'll look into what Khan is, how it works, and why it might be exactly what you've been looking for to bring some order to the chaos. But just before we jump right into Khan, a quick word from our fantastic supporter, SafeServer. SafeServer cares for the hosting of this kind of software, and they really support your digital transformation. They're all about making sure the tech you need is running smoothly, supporting you every step of the way, so you can focus on what you do best. You can find more information about their services at www.safeserver.de. They really do make deep dives like this possible. All right, so we've introduced Khan as an open-sourced Trello alternative. Let's unpack that a bit. What exactly does that mean for someone who might just be starting their journey into project management tools, or is maybe just curious about what open source even means in practice?
Right. Well, at its heart, Khan is a powerful but actually surprisingly flexible Kanban application. Now, that term Kanban might sound a bit technical, but it's actually a brilliant visual system for managing work. Just imagine a whiteboard with sticky notes. You know, you typically have columns like to do, doing, and done, and you move your tasks, your sticky notes across those columns as you make progress. Khan basically takes that really simple, intuitive concept and brings it into the digital world. It's designed to help you organize work, track progress, and deliver results all in one clear visual place. The idea is to make your workflow so intuitive you can see exactly where everything stands just at a glance. And the open source part, well, that's a really crucial distinction, especially for a tool like this. It means the underlying code, kind of like the software's blueprint, is freely available. Anyone can view it, modify it, and even contribute back to it. Think of it like this. If proprietary software is maybe a black box, you just use what's inside, right? Yeah. Open source is more like a transparent workshop.
You can see how it's built. You can suggest improvements or even customize it for your own specific needs. This brings huge benefits like transparency, obviously, a strong community supporting its development, and often way more control for you, the user. It also operates under a license called AGPL 3.0. Now, for the everyday user, this license is a bit like a community garden agreement. If you use seeds from the garden to grow something fantastic, the license encourages you to share those new, improved seeds back with the community. It helps ensure the software keeps getting better, benefiting everyone.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's a very visual way to manage tasks, right? And it's built by a community that's actively involved in making it better. That sounds like a pretty powerful combination. But I mean, in a world flooded with task managers, what's Khan's real superpower? What common frustrations does it genuinely eliminate for someone feeling maybe overwhelmed by their current system or, well, lack of one?
That's a great question because, yeah, it's not just about having another place to list tasks. Think about that feeling when your to-do list is just an endless scroll, right? And you can't easily tell what's urgent or what's stuck or maybe what's waiting on someone else. Khan cuts through that chaos. Its superpower, I'd say, is turning a static list into a living, breathing workflow. Instead of just seeing task A, task B, you're seeing task A is blocked because we're waiting for feedback, or maybe task B is ready for review by the design team. You can instantly see where the bottlenecks are, where you need to focus your attention, or what's actually ready for the next step. It really simplifies task management. You can just drag and drop cards to move them through your workflow. You can invite team members to collaborate seamlessly. In general, just get more done without feeling overwhelmed by that endless list. It truly is about making simple visual task management that just, well, works for real people and real projects.
That instant clarity, yeah, that sounds incredibly valuable. Of course, a project management tool needs more than just a basic board. It needs solid features to be a compelling alternative, right? Especially compared to established options. What stands out to you in Khan's feature set that makes it a true contender?
Khan has definitely thought about the essentials for effective collaboration and organization. For instance,
Board visibility is critical. It lets you control exactly who can view and edit your boards. Imagine you have a board for sensitive HR tasks. You certainly wouldn't want the entire company seeing that.
Definitely not.
Or maybe you're working on a client project where you only want certain team members to see specific parts or stages. This granular control is really important to give you peace of mind. Then you have workspace members, which is obviously essential for bringing your team in and collaborating smoothly. And as projects grow and tasks multiply, labels and filters become your best friends. Trust me.
I can imagine.
These allow for incredibly quick organization and help you find specific cards fast, even when there's loads of information. Vital for bigger projects. And for discussions, comments let you talk right there on the cards themselves. This keeps all communication contextually noted. You're discussing the task on the task, not digging through emails or chats.
Right, no more searching for that one email thread.
Exactly. And finally, the activity log is a really powerful feature. It tracks all card changes with a detailed history. It's like having a perfect project diary, always up to date. It provides accountability and a clear audit trail what happened, when, who did it. Super helpful for looking back or figuring out issues.
That detailed activity log, yeah, that sounds fantastic for accountability and just understanding how things are moving. But one feature that immediately jumped out at me from the material, especially for our listeners who might be using Trello already, is Trello imports. For someone thinking about switching, that sounds incredibly practical. How well does that actually work? Are there any catches?
Oh, it's huge. It truly is a game changer for anyone looking to transition. The ability to easily import your existing Trello boards means you can pretty much hit the ground running. You don't lose your history. You don't have to manually recreate everything. Imagine having, say, 20 Trello boards for different clients or projects. The thought of rebuilding all that in a new tool, it's a massive barrier.
Yeah, that would stop me right there.
Exactly. CAN aims to eliminate that pain point. It tries to make the transition as smooth as possible, bringing over your cards, lists, even some attachments. It really removes a significant hurdle to just trying it out. As for caveats, well, like with any import, it's always good practice to just double check your imported boards afterwards, make sure everything landed exactly as you expected. But for most users, it seems to be a pretty seamless experience.
That's a huge relief, I bet, for anyone considering a move. Really lowers the friction. And looking ahead, what's on the roadmap for CAN? What can users expect in the future as the project keeps developing?
Well, the exciting thing about it being open source and active is that they're just getting started in many ways. They've announced that templates are coming soon. That'll be a huge time saver. You'll be able to create and reuse predefined board structures for common workflows like, say, onboarding new clients or managing an editorial calendar.
Oh, nice. No more setting up the same columns over and over.
Precisely. And integrations are also planned. That will allow users to connect CAN with other tools they use daily, you know, further streamlining workflows and maybe centralizing their work even more. It's a strong sign of a project that's listening to users and committed to continuous improvement.
Okay, so we've talked about what CAN is and why it's a compelling option. Good stuff. But for many people, the biggest question is often, okay, how do I actually get this? And that's where things can sometimes feel a bit intimidating maybe, especially with these two different paths for getting started. How does a beginner navigate that?
You're right, there are two main paths, but CAN has actually made both quite accessible, which is great. The simplest way to jump in, especially if you're an individual, is to get started on cloud. That just means CAN hosts the software for you. It's truly a frictionless entry point. You sign up and you're in. That's it. And it's free forever for individuals. That includes unlimited boards, lists, cards, comments, and that full activity log for one user. You don't even need a credit card to get started, so you can try it out with absolutely zero commitment.
Free forever for individuals. That's pretty generous.
Yeah, it really is. And then if you want to use it with a team, you can upgrade to a team plan. It's $8 per user per month currently. That unlocks features like adding workspace members and having admin roles.
Yeah.
So yeah, the cloud option is definitely the easiest route for most users who just want to dive in immediately.
Okay, that sounds incredibly straightforward for most people. A really quick way to just start using it. But then there's the self-host option. Now, this often sounds complex, maybe a bit daunting, especially if you're a beginner. Why would someone choose this path, and how accessible is it really?
Yeah, self-hosting definitely sounds more technical, but it's ideal for organizations or maybe individuals who need complete control over their data, perhaps for security reasons or compliance, or they just want to run the software on their own servers, their own infrastructure, maybe with a custom domain name.
Right, like if you're a small business handling sensitive client info.
Exactly, or if you're a developer who just loves tinkering and having full command over your applications. And while it might sound complex, CAN actually makes it surprisingly accessible, especially if you're comfortable with some basic command line instructions. The easiest way they recommend is using something called Docker Compose.
Docker Compose. Okay, that might already scare some beginners off.
I know, but think of Docker Compose as like a really smart helper. It bundles up all of the different software pieces CAN needs, like its main engine and its database, its memory banks, if you will, and then sets them all up perfectly with just one command. You don't need to worry about installing each individual piece. It automates that complex setup. Here's basically how simple it can be, even for a beginner, to get it running. First, you create a simple text file. It's called docker-compose.eml. You just paste in a specific configuration, a few lines of code, that they provide right in the CAN documentation.
Okay, copy and paste. I can do that.
Right. Second, you open your command line or terminal, go to where you save that file, and you run just one command. docker-compose-up-eod, that's literally it. That command tells Docker Compose to start the application in the background, setting up everything, including its database, which is where CAN stores all your tasks and boards. And then step three, you just open your web browser and go to http://localhost.30.0.0.0. And CAN should be running right there on your own machine.
Wait, really? Just create a file, run one command, and open a web page?
Pretty much, for the basic setup. And managing it is simple, too. Commands like Docker Compose downstop it, Docker Compose logs-fusel, as you see what's happening behind the scenes, Docker Compose restart restarts it. Simple stuff. Now, it is important for beginners to know this Docker Compose setup is a minimal example. It's perfect for just getting it up and running quickly to try it out. If you want features like email notifications or logging in with Google or GitHub or enabling file uploads, you'd need to configure some additional settings. It's usually done in another little settings file, often called a .env file. Think of it like flipping some extra switches or typing in some preferences. But the core setup to just get it running and start using CAN immediately, yeah, it remains remarkably straightforward.
Okay, that genuinely demystifies self-hosting quite a bit. Knowing those simple steps makes it seem far less daunting than the term self-hosting initially suggests. It also suggests that, you know, even if you start with the cloud option, maybe moving to self-hosting later isn't some insurmountable mountain if your needs change. It's great to see that flexibility. So beyond the tech itself, an open source project really thrives on its community, right? The people behind it. What does a community look like for CAN? Is it an active, vibrant space?
Well, it's actually pretty impressive to see how active and vibrant the community is for CAN. That's usually a good sign for an open source project's health. It's actively developed. On GitHub, which is where the code lives, it has 3,000 stars and about 114 forks. That indicates a significant level of interest and engagement from developers around the world. It's written mainly in TypeScript, which is a modern language, suggesting it's built with maintainable code. And importantly, they openly welcome contributions. They encourage users to read their contribution guidelines. This means users aren't just, you know, consumers of the software. They can actually help shape its future. They can propose features, fix bugs, maybe even contribute entirely new functionalities. It fosters this sense of ownership and collaboration that you just don't typically get with closed source proprietary software.
That's a fantastic point about user involvement. It feels more like a partnership. And for those who might need help or just want to connect with other users or the core developers directly, what are the channels? How does someone get support if they run into a snag or just want to discuss ideas?
Well, for direct support or to get in touch with the core team, they provide an email address, henry@can.bn. But maybe a bigger benefit of the open source community is connecting with other users and the developers more informally. You can join their Discord server. Discord is a really common hub for open source projects these days. This direct access to the core developers and also other experienced users is a huge advantage. You get quick feedback, help solve problems, or just share tips and tricks with a community that's just as invested in the tool as you might become. It tends to be a very supportive environment.
Okay, so support is definitely there, both formally and through the community. Good to know. So wrapping things up then, what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've taken a deep dive into CAN, this open source Trello alternative. We've looked at how it can bring structure and clarity to your projects with its visual approach and some pretty powerful features. And we've walked you through the clear paths to actually get started, whether you prefer that frictionless simplicity of the cloud or maybe the control and customization that comes with self-hosting.
Yeah, and Ming, this raises an interesting question to ponder. In worlds where so many of our digital tools are proprietary closed source, with our data often stored on someone else's servers under terms we might not fully understand, how might embracing an open source alternative like CAN potentially change your perspective? Your perspective on data ownership, on customization, on community involvement in the software you rely on every single day. What new possibilities does having that level of control and transparency actually open up? For your personal projects, maybe, or even for your team's workflow in the long run. It's certainly something to consider.
Definitely something to mull over as you organize your next big idea, perhaps even with CAN. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We truly hope it's given you some valuable nuggets of knowledge to help you make informed decisions. And a big thank you again to SafeServer, our fantastic supporter, for making deep dives like this possible. Remember, SafeServer cares for the hosting of this kind of software and supports your digital transformation. You can learn more about how they can support your digital journey at www.safeserver.de. Until next time.